15. I'm not going to read a specific text yet, but concerning Luke chapter 15. And I, you know, even, huh? Yeah, if it don't mind us. For years I did not understand this, and this does let you know. Earl Cochran was preaching one time from Luke chapter 15. He said this is one parable with three different parts or three different stories or three different accounts. It's not three different parables. It's one parable. It says, and he spake this parable, not these parables. And he spake this parable unto them in Luke chapter 15. Thus it is one parable. So it has all three of these different facets of it. Have at least, they teach more, but has at least one central theme. Okay? Has at least one central theme, because it's one parable. So it is a three-faceted parable in Luke chapter 15. It actually takes the whole chapter if we have it divided, chapter 15. This parable was in answer to a complaint, and a serious complaint of that day. Now let me just read that part. Verse 1, 2, and 3. Then drew near unto him, that is Christ, all the publicans and sinners. Now we know that is not universal all, but local all.
Exactly.
You understand that?
Yeah.
It's local all, not universal. The Aztecs didn't come over and meet up. Right? The American natives didn't come over and meet up this day. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying. You see it? So the parable is given in response, in answer. And when I'm saying a response, I don't mean reactionary response. I mean an answer response is given an answer to a complaint. Now herein in this parable, I'm not even got to the text yet. Four things first. We have one lost sheep. We have one lost silver piece. We have one lost son, and all of these three are summarized as one sinner that repenteth.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says? One lost sheep, one lost silver piece, one lost son. They're all summarized by our Lord himself, not in parable form, but describing one sinner that repenteth.
Yeah.
Let me give you three observations from this briefly. First of all, our Lord was concerned with quality, not quantity.
Right?
That's right here. There were 100 sheep.
Yes, sir.
The shepherd was concerned about what? One lost one.
Amen.
There were 10 pieces of silver. The woman was concerned about what? The one lost piece. There were two sons. The father was rejoicing over what son? The lost son. Right?
Yes, sir.
That's the first observation. It is quality of salvation. It has nothing to do with quantity.
Exactly.
Other than God has a quantity that he will fulfill.
Amen.
And he chose that quantity before the world began.
Amen.
And as a matter of fact, the scripture says that quantity compared to the whole is very small.
Yeah. That's right.
Most people think, they think, oh, it's better when five get saved than when one gets saved. That is not what this parable teaches.
That's exactly right.
Does it? Does it? One lost sheep, one lost silver piece, one lost son, and they're summarized as one sinner. That's what it says. Over one sinner that repenteth. That's the first observation. Secondly, God saves sinners.
Amen.
The first two facets of the parable make this clear.
Yes, sir.
Verse 4. And what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, just one, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost. Notice those last few words. Until he find it.
Amen.
You see it? In other words, what Christ is saying, this shepherd, this kind of shepherd, will not give up till he's found that one sheep.
Right.
He'll leave the other 99 wherever they are.
Yeah.
Even here, not safe in the fold, as I used to hear years ago, but even in the wilderness. Because there's one that was actually lost.
That's right.
Right? One lost. God saves sinners. Verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently, the next few words, till she find it.
Amen.
That's my second observation. God saves sinners.
Amen.
You see that? However God does it, and whatever means he's used to employ, God's the one that saves sinners.
Amen.
You see it? God saves sinners. Thirdly, my third observation, God saves sinners.
Amen.
I thought you'd have said that. I did. But the first was emphasis, God saves sinners. The second here, the third point is, God saves sinners.
Yeah.
Look at the last part of verse 6. For I have found my sheep, which was lost.
Amen.
Because bless God when he finds them, they ain't lost no more.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah.
It don't matter whether they know they're found or not. Amen. When he finds them, bless God, they're found.
That's right.
They're not lost anymore.
Exactly.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
God saves sinners. Last part of verse 9. For I have found the peace which I had lost. And let me tell you something. Now listen to me. I don't know if this is the best way to state it. And if you think of a better way, that's fine. You can correct that. But let me tell you, God lost his people in the fall. They were lost in the fall. They went under Adam in the fall with Adam in the fall.
That's right.
They were lost.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right? They were lost. But look at what it says. For I have found the peace which I had lost. Because once she found it, it ain't lost no more.
That's it.
So God saves sinners. In verse 32, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead. Now I'm still depraved. My flesh is depraved as it ever was.
Yeah.
But I ain't no longer dead.
Exactly.
I am alive in Christ. If I am alive in Christ, I'm really alive in Christ. You see what I'm saying? Was dead and is alive again. Was lost and is. So God saves sinners, right? Three more things. One shepherd, one woman,
yes.
One father.
Amen.
Right? Now I could go into, well, there's three things mentioned here. Yeah. You know, we could take that, but I don't want to. One shepherd, one woman, one father. These all had one thing in common. They all, now there's some differences here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All three of these different facets don't teach. The first two teach pretty much exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But the last one takes us into more detail. It's not something different, but it's into more detail. Okay? But here's the one thing that all three had in common. The shepherd said, rejoice with me.
Amen.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
The woman said, rejoice with me.
Amen.
And the father said that we should begin, began to make merry. What's my conclusion from that? Our covenant God rejoices when he saves one sinner.
Amen.
He rejoices.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's not just some sovereign God up there. All right, I got the one. There's one of them. There's one more. No, yeah, there's another one. I got that one. That ain't the way it's working. He is rejoicing when he goes and finds his lost sheep, his lost coin, and when his lost son comes home. Matter of fact, he even meets the son before he gets all the way home.
That's exactly right.
Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
And Christ actually puts it this way. Look at it. Verse 10. As a conclusion to the first facet of the parable, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Joy in heaven.
Yeah.
Okay? But it doesn't define the joy. It doesn't define the joyer. Right here. You see what I'm saying? Just that the whoever's joying is in heaven, right? But then he gives the second facet of the parable. And look at what he says. Let me find it. Verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God.
Yes.
So who's really doing the rejoicing? As he points out, the shepherd is rejoicing. The woman is rejoicing. The Father is rejoicing.
Amen.
God rejoices when he saves one sinner. One sinner.
Exactly.
When I was in religion and I heard God say 5,000 in one day, I was disappointed we only got one or two here and there.
Uh-huh.
I was.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than rejoicing. Now, you know why. My eyes were closed. My understanding, Joe, was closed. Oh, my heart was closed. I thought it needed to be. If we only had 5,000 like they had. Our Lord said there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Amen.
God is rejoicing in glory. Mm-hmm. Now that ought to make you happy.
Yes, sir.
Because when God's happy, now listen to me, I know I've made the statement, when mama's happy, everybody's happy. That ain't true. Sometimes when mama's happy, when mama's happy, Walter's happy. Other people may not be happy. But let me tell you something, if God's happy, that's all that matters. If God's rejoicing, that's all that matters. And if I, by His grace, am one of those one sinners,
yes,
oh, what joy and rejoicing it is. And if you ever start to lose the happiness and joy within yourself over that, a red flag ought to go up and say, oh my God, what's wrong with me? Huh? If God's rejoicing, should not I? If God saves one sinner from here on out, as long as we're together, you know what? That ought to be the greatest day of rejoicing in our lives. Because He's found His lost sheep. He's found His piece of silver. His son or daughter has come home. And He rejoices. Oh, how much I should. Four more things here. One robe. A lot of ones here. One robe, and it was the best at that.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Bring forth the best robe. You know what that is. That's Christ's righteousness.
That's it.
Right? One ring. One signet of acceptance.
Yes.
One signet of acceptance. I can say what? The Spirit.
That's right.
He's the seal of our inheritance.
Right.
Until that final day, He's there to guarantee it. Look, the Son's got a ring on His finger. What's that ring mean? It means I'm hers and nobody else's. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That, I mean, I don't know what kind of ring you this, but that doesn't matter. But what's that ring mean? I'm hers and nobody else's. One ring, a signet of acceptance. One set of shoes. That's gospel protection. No matter where he went, he was protected now.
Yeah.
Put the best robe on him.
Yeah.
Ring on his hand. That's what it says. I've often said finger. It don't say that, but that don't matter. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.
Yes.
Gospel protection. Here's the thing, the robe. Somebody said, well, but they're so different. The first two parts of the parable are so different than the third. No, not really.
Yeah.
Not really.
No.
The third is just giving more detail than the first two.
Exactly.
The first two establish the precedent, salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
And there is no other salvation.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not saved by the Lord, if not found by the Lord, I don't care how lost you are, you're lost and gone forever. But if you're His and you're lost, He will find you.
Amen.
You see that difference?
Yeah.
He will find you. But what do they say about the robe? Well, offer it to Him, see if He'll take it. No. He said, bring the best robe and put it on Him.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. You see, God doesn't offer gifts. He gives gifts.
Exactly.
That's really the only kind of true gift there is. We talk about gifts. You know, we give gratuity. They say it's the same word, grace. But we only do it usually when somebody provides a reasonable service, don't we? And we base that gratuity on the service, don't we? God doesn't do it that way. He did all the work and is doing all the work. Even when He employs means, He gets all the credit because He's the one motivating and moving all the means. He gets all the credit because He's the doer of it all. Put the robe, put it on Him. The ring on His hand, put it on His hand.
Amen.
Oh, thank God He put it on us.
Yeah.
Didn't He? Put it on us and put shoes on Him. Oh, what a glory. What a glory. And the fourth one, one fatted calf.
Yeah.
A fatted calf.
Yes, sir.
Not just any old calf. A fatted calf. A prepared calf. That's what it means. One that's been fed specifically for a purpose like this. Huh? Right? A slain calf,
yeah,
and a feast upon the calf.
Amen.
Now, if you don't know If that don't bring some kind of picture in your mind, then let me tell you, you're at best still lost. You're still down there at best in the hog pen.
Yeah.
Because once you get home, guess what happens? The best robe is put on you. The ring is put on your hand. The shoes are put on your feet. And you will begin to fast, feast on the fatted calf that had been slain.
Yeah,
I can see the sun now. Nah, I don't want any of that calf. Yeah, you think? You think? No. But he was. Why? He would fain have eat the husk that the swine did eat. And all the way on his journey, Joe, he came to the Father still hungry.
That's right.
Wasn't he?
That's exactly.
You think he ain't going to eat? I figure, Mason, had this been a real occurrence, and I'm sure something like this happened here a lot, I bet you that boy's belly was like this after that feast. Don't you figure so? One fatted calf. Repentant sinners have all anyone needs. Don't they? Repentant sinners.
Yes, sir.
And that's the way we got to say it. Repentant, because Christ is making sure we know this.
Yeah.
Over one sinner that what? Found? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, must be found. And God's doing the finding. But when he finds them, they're actually saved. They do what? Amen. They repent.
Amen.
They go home.
Yes, sir.
Right? The repentant sinners have all anyone needs. A God righteousness. You hear? A God righteousness. A seal of our position in Christ. An everlasting gospel. One that in fact had no beginning and has no end. One that, Mason, we will still rejoice in and sing about even after we're perfected in glory. We're still going to be singing about that redemption, that salvation, that gospel, that person. That person. And divine satisfaction. Divine satisfaction. Now that's 11 points with some observations and some explanations. And that was introduction. That was introduction. Now you want the message. But I really want to try to point out this morning. Here's the passage. Now go to chapter, you're in fact chapter 15, starting verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And I can hear this is Christ saying this. I mean, I know he sounded like every other man, didn't he? But even people, when he was here in his, during his condescension, when he was on this earth, even unregenerate people realized this man teaches with authority.
Yes, sir.
There was some kind of difference to it,
yeah.
David. Far more than what you're going to hear from this clay pot or that clay pot. But even then, Joey's got to open you. Understand, give you, open your understanding that you might understand the scriptures.
Exactly.
Even then. But anyway, he's saying these things. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Amen.
And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.
Yes.
Then this last one, the first part of verse 20, and he arose and he came.
Amen.
To his father.
Amen.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
I probably don't even have to say much more, but I will. Verse 13 lets us know. It lets me know. It reminds me of my natural state. All the blessings that God had given me, a free will, no. I had far more than that. I had His Word before me. I had a man that came to me and preached the gospel. You guys want to be embarrassed, Joe. But at first, you know what I did? I wasted it. with righteous living.
Yes, sir.
And it didn't have to be immoral living. It could be even religious living.
Yes,
the
sir.
Context here is immoral living, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But both will damn the soul.
Exactly.
Both is a wasting of God's glory and God's beauty.
Yes, sir.
I lived in this world. I breathed His air. I spoke with vocal cords and used His name in vain.
Yes, sir.
Both immorally and religiously, both. I did.
Yeah.
I did both.
Yeah.
I was converted to false religion and then lied on God after I'd got out of my immorality, David. I was on both sides of the camp.
Yeah.
I was wrong on both sides.
Exactly.
Wasted it with riotous living. And that's what my flesh still is today. Hear me? My flesh is still just like it ever was. It's just as wicked and corrupt. You know why I know that? Because it's raised its ugly head all so many times.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's our natural state. But what does verse 14 show us? Now listen, here's the main key. God's providential working. Now look, I want to read that. And when He had spent all. Why did He spend all? Yeah, once all he had, but he had quite a bit evidently. But why did He spend all? It is in God that we live and move and have our being.
That's right.
He couldn't have spent all unless God suffered Him to spend all.
That's right.
Could He?
That's right.
Why did He spend all? Because it's a process that God's putting this boy through.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I know it's easy to look out there on the unbeliever and say, oh, look at them. But remember, that's me. By nature.
Exactly.
And that's where I was.
Yes,
by nature. Huh?
Yeah, exactly.
How many times, David, I look back and I become the elder son. Huh? I become the elder son. Griping and complaining about God saving the younger son.
Yep.
When at one time, you know all I was? I was the younger son myself. Huh?
Yeah.
You ever been there? I know
that
Paul and I, some of us here for years, have talked about this elder son. You know how I believe the elder son is? He's just the believer with the flesh still in him. Oh, I know, most even grace. Oh, that's the Pharisees. That ain't the Pharisee. He said, you're a son. Everything I got's always been yours.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? The elder son is me, even as a believer, and walking in the flesh. Now, that's all I'm going to say about it. There's your explanation of the elder son.
There you go.
That's what it is. Have you ever looked back and said, oh, yeah, look at that person. Oh, look, they were a believer. Look how they fail. I ain't never done that. Watch out.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
Even as a believer.
Yeah.
Well, how could they be a believer and do that? Just hang on for a while. God will show you.
Yeah,
He'll let you do the same thing.
He
let you do the same thing. Well, let's move on. Look at what it says. And when He had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Now, did He do this? You see that?
Yeah.
He spent everything, David, and all of a sudden, guess what happens? There arose a mighty famine in the land. God cut off everything.
Exactly.
Isn't this the way God works?
Yes, sir.
With His lost ones? Huh? There arose a mighty famine in the land, and He began to be in want. And that's how it begins.
Yep.
That's how it begins. That's God's providential working. But we also see in verse 15 and 16, God's providential lessons.
Yes, sir.
Now let's read it. And He went and joined Himself to a citizen of that country. Why didn't He just go home?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you spent everything. A mighty famine comes in the land and you're in want.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. God, here's where we think we are.
Yeah.
Here's where we think we are.
Yeah.
Now we know where we really are, but here's where we think we are. The problem is, this is where we are in our minds.
Yeah.
God not only brings us down to here and then says, I come home. God brings every one of His children all the way down there.
Yeah.
All the way down to the bottom. To where what? You quit and can find no hope in yourself or any other person.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
And He went and joined Himself to a citizen of that country. Sounds like a reasonable thing to do.
Yep.
Right? And He sent Him into the fields to feed swine. and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave to him. You see that? God was pleased to bring this young boy all the way down.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
And then we see an actual awakening.
Yes.
And when he came to himself.
Amen.
Now we know by the first two facets of the parable, how's the only way you're going to come to yourself?
That's right.
If the shepherd comes and finds you, if the woman lights a candle, and we can talk about that, some says the Spirit. No, that's God the Father sending Christ into the world. And the woman lights a candle, and she sweeps and searches diligently until she finds it. And no man, and not only that, but God Almighty is going to show you how lost you really are.
Yes, sir.
That's what he does.
Yes, sir.
It's not, it would be good enough for God. He knows how lost we really are.
Oh, yeah.
But God has been pleased to show us how lost we really are. Why? So that we have nowhere to turn but to him. An actual awakening. And when he came to himself, you remember what Psalms 107:27 says about God's people? When they are at, and they call on God, but only after they are at their wit's end.
Yes.
And that's where God brings you spiritually, to your wit's end.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He may be, oh, these bunch of legalizers. God may put you under one just to begin to show you how bad you really are. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, but no, we don't really believe all things work together for good. Huh? Oh, they need out of that legalistic church. No, God might have them right where he wants them.
That's it.
They start to see what the law really is. Maybe not even by that legalistic church's attempts. Joe, that's where I was. And God didn't send me to you. He sent you to me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? God comes to us where we're lost at.
Yes, sir.
And finds us first and brings us to our wits' end before we ever say, it's time to rise and go to the Father.
Yeah. Exactly.
See, all this is one parable.
Yeah.
It's teaching one central truth, and that is the lesson that that Jonah learned, salvation's of the Lord.
Amen.
An actual awakening. But look at verse 18. Look, well, let's read it. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise. You see it? I will. Here's the will.
Amen.
Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Some say you don't believe man has a will. Oh, I believe he has a will. Yeah. It's simply by nature, you see how corrupt it is. Look at 13 and 14.
That's right.
Look at 50. Even when providential dealings come, where do we run? We always run to the wrong place until God brings us to the end of ourselves.
Exactly.
Then and then only will we run to the Father.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I will arise. I will. I have a will to arise. And I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you.
Amen.
You see that? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's not just, well, oh, I know the Father really wants me back, so I probably ought to go on back. No, I got to go back. And when I do, I have to abase myself and confess what I really am. You see it? Oh, I believe the doctrines of grace now. That ain't the way it works. No, if all you've come to is a knowledge of the doctrines of grace, you're still lost. Do you hear me? God brings us, each and every one, to the end of ourselves. When we're at our wits' end, and we come to ourselves, I will arise and go to the Father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy. Now, what's it? Did I used to be worthy? Huh? That's not what he's talking about. Mm-mm. And am no more worthy to be even called thy son. Do you see that? You see, even after God saves you, you begin to realize that we were sons and daughters of God from all eternity.
Amen.
Weren't we?
Amen.
And listen to me. Now listen to me. We were worthy because of his choosing.
Amen.
He didn't choose us because we were worthy, but we were worthy of his choosing. He loved us with an everlasting love. He chose us in Christ, and he predestinated us in him. Everything that he had was ours.
Yes, sir.
Right. But I've sinned against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Look at it. Now, Joe, is it a changed understanding?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's not coincidence. A changed understanding.
Yeah.
Changed affections.
Yes, sir.
A reversal of will.
Yes.
Self-abasement.
Yes.
And a refusal to take any personal glory.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
That's where every lost sheep is brought to and through.
Yes,
every
sir.
Lost coin, yeah. Every lost son or daughter.
Amen.
You see that? You see that? Verse 20. The reversal of the will in action. He arose. Even in our small group, I've heard people before, and it grieves my soul, but I know it's up to God. And He may have them where they are. I look at some people, they'll tell me, I know I'm a sinner. Penny's had people, I'm so corrupt, and I can't help myself. But guess where they still are? They're still in the hog pen.
That's right.
And you want them, you just think, all you got to do is arise and go to the Father, but you can't until you get to the end of yourself. And God alone can take you to the end of yourself. And He'll do it in His time, in His good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
You know? But there was a reversal of the will, and actions followed, didn't it?
Yes,
I will arise. And He arose.
And He arose.
And came to His Father. Now let me tell you, we know the Father seen Him afar off. He ran to meet, but that boy was going all the way home. Because
exactly.
He had nowhere else to go.
Exactly.
Even if the Father decided to stay there while He seen the Son, David, yeah. The Son still going to come all the way to the Father. Because all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Yeah.
He'll make it all the way there.
Yeah.
If He meets you all the way. Now listen, don't get your theological doctrinally correct. If He meets you all the way, halfway, or at the gate, it doesn't matter. One, you're coming.
Yeah.
And you're going to come all the way.
Amen.
Huh? Thing about it is, you really don't find it. He done bet you before the world began.
Exactly.
This Father here seen Him, the Father, our Heavenly Father, sees us and has seen us from all eternity. And He put us exactly where we are.
Yes,
He's the one that even gave us the life and the breath to go live the righteous living.
Yeah.
But did He not?
Yes, sir.
Did He not? Why? So He could get glory to Himself.
That's right.
So He could get glory. It's a reversal of the will and actions. Hebrews 13. It's getting late. Let me just read the three passages. But look at this. Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work.
Yes.
I don't know if I could adequately explain all that. But that's what it says.
Yes,
to
sir.
Do His will.
Amen.
Working in you.
Yes.
That which is well pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ. Not through free will. But through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. And that's not even the end of the chapter, is it? He couldn't help it, could he? Being moved. Amen. You see it? So be it. Because this is the way it is. Who gets the credit? Even in the Son's coming, Joe. At least, yeah, He may have had a whole lot, but at least He only had so much to spend. Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if you had enough to where you never got to run out of spending, guess what?
Yeah.
You'd be happy where you are.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God the Father only gave you so much.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Because He's got a destined end to where you run up to the, you run up finally to the edge and you say, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. Somebody says, well, do this. Well, you go do that. And it's worse now than it was before.
Exactly.
And finally, by His grace, you come to yourself and you say, I will arise. And what happened? You arise.
Amen.
And you come to the Father.
Right.
Romans 9:16 says, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But He doesn't say you don't will and you don't run. He just says it's not of him that willeth.
Amen.
Some people misunderstand. The reason they misunderstand is because they hate God anyway.
Yes.
And they use the truth, even the truth, to try to defense against God.
Oh yeah.
Paul's not saying man doesn't have a will and man doesn't endure. He doesn't persevere. He just says it's not of him that willeth and of him that runneth. But those who are his do will and do run. And as Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, and I'll just the latter verse, for it is God who works in you both to will. I've heard a lot of people, like I told you, people say, I want to be saved. I'm so corrupt. I'm totally depraved. To will and to do. Now, what's his good pleasure? Come home.
There you go. Amen.
That's his good pleasure.
Yes, sir.
It ain't, well, all right, son, straighten yourself. You ain't got nothing to straighten yourself out with. You're at your wit's end.
There you go.
What's the Father's good pleasure?
Yeah.
Run back to him. Crawl back to him if you have to.
Yes, sir.
Just arise and go back to him.
Amen.
What's my conclusion? This is how God saves sinners.
Amen.
What I have to ask myself, what you have to ask yourself, because I can't ask it and answer it for you. I can ask it to you, but I can't answer it. What I've got to ask myself is, do I have that kind of conversion?
Yeah.
That's what this is, the prodigal's conversion.
Yeah.
That was my message.
Yeah.
Do I have that kind of conversion?
That's it.
Listen, anything short of that kind of conversion is not a conversion by God.
That's right.
And that's not me doing this to be mean. That's not, I'm not telling you to be like me. Because if I'm deceived, you don't want to be like me. I'm saying, is what happened to you and what you call your conversion, do you see yourself in the prodigal son?
Yes, sir.
All of it.
Yeah.
Not just the first part of it.
Yeah.
And not just the last part of it. Not just the middle of it. But the whole shooting match. The whole shebang. The whole caboodle, as we say.
Yep.
Everything. Because apart from that, Joe, I'm still somewhere out there in the wilderness.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Father, thy truth is far beyond this pot of clay and these lips so prone to wrong. But Lord, by your grace and your design purpose and your means, preaching of your word, we know you'll do your work. Work that work, Lord. We are absolutely completely dependent upon thee. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.